Question 19. Why do you think evil in your hearts? Matthew 9:4. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" Jesus approached a man suffering from palsy and said, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Then he asked some of the scribes who were watching him why they thought evil thoughts. Here's a curiosity. God is about to do a wonderful thing, and the religious leaders are on the outside looking in. They feel that they are outsiders and respond by finding fault. They comment, "This man blasphemes." This comment was what caused Jesus to turn to them and ask the question, "Why do you think evil thoughts in your heart?" It would be a good practice to answer Jesus when he asks a question, especially when we find ourselves exemplifying the traits of one being questioned. If we find ourselves thinking evil thoughts, it would do us good to answer the query, "Why?" We should feel shame for the similarities in the thoughts that we have about our brethren in Christ and the judgment poured upon Christ by the Pharisees and scribes. Even the worst examples of Christianity in theology and doctrine or in practice do not deserve our criticism. We must ask, why do I think evil thoughts? What are these evil thoughts? Evil thoughts are clearly identified in Scripture from Luke 6:45 and Matthew 12:35. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of a man's heart his mouth speaketh. And from Matthew 15:18-19 and Mark 7:20-23, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, false witness, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. We also know that though this is an impressive list, this is not an exhaustive one. Although the heart of a faith pretender likely won't lead him to practice all of the worst ones mentioned here, their thoughts can be as dangerous. As we read this list, we must then ask, why do evil thoughts arise in our hearts? Thoughts of pride, foolishness, suspicion, and even blasphemy. Perhaps it would be easier to consider this objectively by looking at the example given in the story above. Why did the scribe engage suspicion and accuse Christ of blasphemy? Simply because the scribe did not believe that the man he saw in front of him was Messiah. Why did he not believe it? It was because Jesus did not fit the mold that the scribe and tradition made for him. Human nature is to avoid responsibility. Also, this nature avoids servitude. The knowledge of Christ and the subsequent acceptance of him as Messiah will require both. He thinks, if I only search for the Christ, I am counted among the faithful and not compelled to obey Christ. This convoluted thinking is practiced by many, not only the scribe, but also modern seekers who look into Christianity and discover that finding Jesus as Messiah means to take him as Lord. Not wanting to do the latter, they stay in search mode and determine never to find anything for sure. Because they're searching, they assume an air of sincerity. However, the day we find Christ, the search is over. At that time, we must either give up or give over to Christ, or we must reject him. Those who don't wish to reject him because they indeed know he is Lord and Christ, nor wish to serve him because they want their own way and yet do not want to appear as infidels, can purposefully remain in that state of uncertainty, remaining skeptical, objective, and undecided. We enjoy these words being attributed to us, as they tend to lend to the bearer an air of intelligence, sobriety, and cerebral superiority. It makes us seem as if we use analysis instead of some silly faith, and not appear as one who jumps to conclusions. The scribes were not much different. However, these men who saw Christ Jesus were not intelligent, they were blinded by closed eyes. They were not being analytical so they could believe. They were being critical so they would not have to. We who have Christ revealed to us and hold out for proof, or choose to remain open-minded, are literally playing with fire. Those who turn their head, close their eyes, or stop their ears are only making provision for more self-indulgence and more self-rule. They only avoid the giving up, the surrender. The surrender is the threshold over which they cannot seem to step. All life before surrender is a life of evil thought, evil surmisings, doubt, fear, and skepticism, all the while they ride the fence, socializing with God's people, pretending to be an intelligent, open-minded Christian. These pretenders need to know that theirs is no secret. It is made plain by the questions raised and the doubts displayed, all under the pretense of remaining clear-headed. They pick apart, criticize, they try to hold others back to avoid fanaticism. They fancy themselves as one who keeps organization and order. Christ is asking, why do you doubt everything you read in the Scriptures? Why do you criticize the deeper brethren who don't see things the way you do? Why is it you call dedication going overboard and call sober Christians stuffy and sanctified persons fanatics? Why do evil thoughts arise in your hearts? Our answer will not be much different than the scribes would have been. The scribe was looking at total humiliation at the first sign of accepting this Galilean carpenter's boy as Messiah. All that this scribe ever said would have to be retracted. All he ever believed would have to be changed. He would likely be put out of the synagogue and rejected by his own family. All of his future aspirations would be put into jeopardy. So, he decided to find fault and back it up with Scripture. After Jesus said to this man, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," the scribe says, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" He was reasoning to himself, he can't be Messiah if he's a blasphemer. He holds Jesus up to perfection to see if he measures up. Jesus fails his test. Jesus always fails tests designed by man. He always will. You will never prove that he is God. He will have to prove it to you. When he does, take advantage and believe, and see the evil thoughts melt from your heart and love take their place. You're not promised a second chance, but Jesus lovingly gave this scribe another opportunity to believe, as you'll see in the next question he asks. You must learn the origin of evil thoughts and why they appear. You must learn that good and proper theological arguments are sometimes used to justify a lifestyle or to get your own way. Debate and skepticism accomplish nothing if surrender does not follow when truth is discovered. Some enjoy the search, but searching is useless if the seeker refuses to find. God lovingly guides us to the Savior by people and events entering and exiting our life all the time. Information, evidences, internal witnesses all appear to bring us along the way that leads to eternal life. Care should be exercised to weigh everything, examine everything, and look for our guide's signature in it. If you reject what he sends, there's no assurance that he'll send it again. Examine, rather, why you're rejecting what you really feel compelled to believe. Ask yourself, why do you think evil thoughts in your heart?